The use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on the item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I'll bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type C for a comment, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second, and please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Item number one is apologies. Councillor Finn?
Yeah.
Councillor McGuinness.
That's the reason, okay.
Sorry, Councillor McElroy as well.
Thank you. Just under the chair's remarks, I'd just like to offer congratulations to Liverpool soloman Conor Hazard on his outstanding performance in the match against Liverpool in the FA Cup last week there. And to Downpatrick and County Down Railway, under two awards at the Heritage Railway Association Awards, very well deserved after the journey they've been through since the devastating floods here in the town. We'd also like to congratulate Newcastle's Unit T. We were crowned regional champions at the Live Here, Love Here Community Awards. They were recognised for their work reducing isolation and promoting health and wellbeing through projects like cleanups, recycling, community lunches and the Newcastle Community Fridge. With the runners-up in the same category was Crossfire's Community Village Greens for their efforts to improve the local village through planting flowers, installing picnic tables, securing funding for the Riverside Project. And going on to item number three is the action sheet. And number two, declarations of interest. Do we have any? Then number three, was the action sheet. And we just go through them, and there is pages one and two. If get a proposer and seconder. Welcome.
Thanks, Chair. A comment and a question, if you don't mind, as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, when we Google search for left our office in Uri, the quote in the Uri Reporter prior to Christmas, I quoted, it says, it is anticipated that the works will be complete in December and the recommissioning of the swimming pool hall, including the refilling of the pools, will take approximately 4 weeks, with the pools opening again to the public in January in a phased approach. So following on from a meeting that myself and my colleague Derek Hughes MP had with Andy and Marie, It was stated that the works were on track for the pool to reopen in mid-February. We're now in mid-February, and I would just like a wee update on that, if possible, please.
Through the chair, there's been very good progress over the last few weeks on the works of the pool hall. I'll remind members it was a very significant piece of work, essentially removing all of the tiles and the screed and concrete substructure, back down to the substructure within the main pool hall and the village changing area. The majority of those works have been complete. And we're running through now the commissioning, recommissioning of the pools. The main pool has been refilled and heated. The learner pool, the commencement, it'll be filled by the end of this week. And then we're running through final safety checks next week. I think it's important to emphasise too that we're not looking to... the frustration of the public is well felt and recognised, absolutely. But we need to be very cognizant of the final safety checks and the final quality control of the work that's delivered, and to ensure that the pool is opened, but remains open as well, because we do not and will not be in a situation where we have that pool closed again. So it's very important that we go through the due diligence, complete the final safety checks, and have the pool reopened. And we're talking... very, very shortly, we're looking to put a press release out at the end of this week with an update. And I'm more than happy for councillors to come down on site this week if wish to have a look around the pool hall and see the update themselves.
Thanks, Andy. I appreciate that. And, you know, seeing with my own two eyes the work that needed done in the pool. But, you know, are we looking at February? Are we talking about March? You know, because I'm getting this daily. It's not a day goes by that I'm not being contacted by people, so we need to give people some sort of idea of the opening date.
I appreciate that, and we've more meetings with contractors this week. There's a number of things that need to take place this week, and it's dependent on those things taking place. Those are things like recommissioning of the pool floor, which is scheduled in for one day. It's things like lighting going into the pool hall, which is scheduled in as well. Things like the final clean down, which is scheduled in for early next week. So that those things are all, you know, we need to let those things happen and take place. We're dependent on number of suppliers for those things to happen, and then we'll be ready for reopening. The important thing too is our own pool safety checks and protocols being put back in place. So as I said, we'll be putting out a press release later on this week with an update on timelines.
Thanks, final word on it. You know, I've said this from the outset, communication's key in all this. You know, if council have something they need to tell the public, they need to tell it, and that's it on the information.
Okay. Let me propose our seconder, please. Seconder? Okay. Get it. Item number 4, which is the physical activity and wellbeing strategy presentation by Tony Morrison, who we have online. You can hear us there. Do you want to come in, Tony?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Do you want me to go ahead?
Yeah, you go ahead there.
Okay. Thank you, Chair, the Council for this commission. We're pleased to have worked with Newry and Moran District Council over the last few years on the Carlingford Lough Greenway right through to the outdoor sports facilities review and strategy more recently. And thank you for the time you've given me this evening just to present the Sport and Physical Activity Strategy 2025 to 2030. So what I'm going to do, the aim of my presentation this evening is to give you a flavour of the document that has been prepared for the Council, and to give you a sense of what's in it and the importance of it. Sport and Physical Activity Strategies are the flavour of the month over the last number of years. 20 years ago we would have been doing sports development strategies, but now it's sports and physical activity and indeed wellbeing strategies. So everything is evolving, and more departments are getting involved, more agencies are getting involved. Councils still tend to lead on these pieces of work, as is the case here with New Morning Down. Be active is what we're calling this strategy. It's a result of considerable research and consultation for the project specifically. But also we're drawing on research that has been completed in the last 2 or 3 years with Sport NI, research that we have carried out on behalf of Sport NI, looking at sports clubs across Northern Ireland and including New Morning Down. And just to say that these strategies, this is the third one that we have been doing. The first one we did was for Derry City and Strabane. We're finishing one off for Ards and North Down. And this one for yourselves, which is coming to completion as well. And they do make a difference. They're important because they have the potential to make a difference in everybody's lives, not only people who are currently active, but more importantly, people who are probably not currently active enough, and that's one of the key aims of strategies of this nature. Chair, I'm going to bring up and share a PowerPoint which I hope is going to work for us. That coming up at all, Chair? No.
No.
I wonder, Sarah, can you pull it up there?
Yep. Hopefully that should be it all now.
All right, okay. So, is that full screen? Is that okay, Chair? Can everybody see that? Yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
Okay. So, if you move to the next slide, Sarah. So, the rationale for this is quite clear. And we've looked at the various strategies for us of regional and local strategies, and it is about the significant health and well-being benefits of sport and physical activity and participating in sport and physical activity, whether it's competition, whether it's more or less formal activity. And that message is found in every strategic approach that you look at, increasingly so. Over the last number of years, Programme for Government, it's called Our Plan, Doing What Matters Most. We know that's just hit us from last September. So it highlights the importance of people and improving life opportunities. The Department for Communities Active Living Strategy, it highlights key themes of participation, of excellence in sport, of partnership in promoting physical activity in shared spaces, and in promoting the benefits. And all of these messages come through into the Be Active strategy that we have prepared for yourselves. Sport NI's Power of Sport strategy also highlights the importance of sport and physical activity participation, and indeed excellence as well. And right through to your own community plan, Living Well Together. One of the outcomes is enjoying good health and well-being. Another outcome is living in safe and vibrant communities. And both of those outcomes have contributions from the Be Active strategy that we've prepared for you. So the rationale is quite clear, and there's no doubt that physical activity and sport are right up there, right up the priority list for government and its departments. In the strategy, we have presented the picture of what's going on in New Morning Down at the minute, and that has been as a result of a great deal of research and consultation over the past while. So right up at the top of it is the council and the importance of the council and its operation of facilities and services for sport and physical activity. You have five leisure centres. We tell this in the strategy document. You've got five leisure centres. You've over 80 outdoor pitches and facilities. You've got programmes like Be Active for Life, Be Active for Health. You've got membership of your leisure centres. You've got a multitude of classes going on a weekly basis. You've got summer sports camps. You have grants for sports clubs, sports awards, ceremony, generic training opportunities, and the elite athlete scheme. And I mean, that covers a fair bit of it. So there's a lot that's going on from the council's point of view, and we're keen to highlight that and the importance of that in terms of facilities and services in the strategy, and we've done that. In terms of the sports clubs, we delivered a survey of sports clubs, and we had a very good response to that. And it tells us, and looking also at some of the other research we've done for Sport NI, it tells us there are approximately 250 sports clubs in Newry Morning Down, representing at least 40 sports, with about 25,000 sports club members, which is about 14% of the population. Now, that's what we find when we do these pieces of work and similar pieces of work. That's what we find, that there are significant proportions of populations that are involved in sports clubs. So that makes sports clubs very important, alongside the council, not separate from, but alongside the council in terms of delivering the sort of opportunities the council is interested in through this strategy. There are approximately 4,000 volunteers in the sports clubs in the district, and about 1,600 coaches, sports coaches. So again, that emphasises the importance of what the sports clubs are doing. We also found that there's, and this is the same as we find elsewhere, that there is a ratio of more males to females in sports clubs, approximately 1.5 to 1 male to female. Now, that's, sorry, have I just ruined that for you there? Are you okay with me still? Yeah?
Yeah, you're okay.
That's what we find elsewhere. However, that is changing with initiatives like this and the sports development work that you do, that you are involved in, and targeting females, particularly targeting over 50s, targeting people with disabilities, targeting people in deprived areas. So those sort of ratios, that ratio of male to female is changing, and females are increasingly represented in sport. Some sports better than others, but that gap is narrowing. And the sports clubs tell us in that survey work that we did that they have a significant focus on health and well-being. They recognise their responsibility to the community, not only to provide opportunities for competition, but also provide opportunities for simple participation as well. And that's a good thing as the council seeks to deliver on this Be Active strategy. For the community survey was really also, along with the sports club survey, at the very heart of our work. And we had over 600 responses to the community survey. And that provides a really good, the survey itself and the way that we designed the survey provides a really, really good baseline for the council. So in 5 years' time, when you're looking to figure out, well, what has changed, a survey of that nature, that community survey and the sports club survey as well, repeated, can let you see what changes have happened. So that's really, really important. We asked people the sort of activities that they do, and walking is top of the list. And that's no surprise, because when we look at the continuous household survey, the governance survey, walking always tops the list in terms of what people do in terms of physical activity. However, the other activities that we know and recognise well, like swimming, like weightlifting, like jogging, etc., they're well up there. But walking, it's interesting to note that non-formal activities such as walking are well up there in terms of people's physical activity. We also noted from that survey, we noted a lot of stuff from that survey, Chair, and it's all reported in the strategy itself, but just picking out a couple of the points. 20% of the respondents to that survey tell us they are either inactive or not sufficiently active to benefit their health. Now that 20% is a key target group for this strategy to get to reduce that 20% over the period of the 5 years. Interestingly, we asked a question about the interest in being active, and only 1% of respondents to that survey, remember there's about 600 respondents, only 1% of people said they are not interested in being active. So everybody understands that they should be active, maybe they better need to know the benefits, etc., but there is an interest in being active, and so it's a case of making sure that there are opportunities for people, and that is encouragement for people to be able to do that. And one of the top motivations coming out of that community survey for people being active, 66% of people said, two-thirds of people said, to make me feel better. That's an interesting learning point, because it points to the importance of the mental health benefits alongside the physical health benefits as well. We also did that, did an education survey, and an activity provider survey, and in both of those surveys, speaking with the schools and speaking with the sports clubs and other providers of activity, of physical activity, everybody wants to work with the council more closely in terms of helping to deliver on this Be Active strategy. And we note also that many operators already work with the council in providing opportunities. So, for example, in the education sector, we have seen over the last 20 or 30 years, we've been doing this quite a while, over the last 20, 30 years, that the education sector is more interested in working with councils, with local authorities. And there's a fine example in New England and down at Shimla College, where the community use of the school premises outside of curriculum time has been negotiated with the school, and that's a project that I'm fully aware of through the council. Finally, in that section of the strategy, we looked at why it is that, or how it is that people can live longer, the benefits of being more active. And in that section of the strategy, we present some key statistics for health in New England and Down, and particularly looking at people in deprived areas and the fact that the longevity lifespan is slightly less in with people living in deprived areas. For men, it's about 2 years less. For women, it's about 6 months less than they would experience elsewhere in the district. So there are benefits of being more active, and we have highlighted those within the strategy to encourage people to know a bit more about it. Next slide. So all of that, Chair, leads us to create a vision and objectives and themes. And the vision reflects the regional and local strategic approaches as well. Being active is a lifestyle choice for everyone in Newry, Mourne and Down. Now that's a very easy thing to understand, and we like quite short and snappy vision statements. So it's something, the vision is that everybody in the district will want to be active and has opportunities to be active. And to assist in that, we have three objectives. If you go through to the next slide, Sarah. We have three objectives that are really outcomes of where we see the strategy making a difference. Activity and sport is about opportunities. Activity and sport suited to all ages and abilities for fun, fitness and competition. So it's not only competition, it is about fun as well. And that's emphasised, wherever we go and do these pieces of work, that's emphasised as well, that physical activity and sport has to be fun. Active lifestyle is about partnerships, about people working together. I'll talk about that a wee bit more in a minute. And programme support is where district sports clubs and activity providers can be supported in delivering activity programmes. It's back to what I'm saying about sports clubs and activity providers being important delivery agents working with the council. And it's quite clear from the survey and consultation work that we did that that's what they want to do. They want to work with the council, and increasingly that's the case. If we move on to the next slide. So then we have four themes. Chair and members, theme one is about, and these all come from, again, from the research and the consultation. So there's a flow from the vision through to the objectives, through to the themes. So here are the four themes in brief. The first one is community, and the rationale there is to encourage individuals, families and community groups to take responsibility for their own physical activity and well-being profile, especially thinking of those who are less active than others. And that, I'll emphasise that again, because that's a quite a big challenge here. It's where people are not active enough and that they could particularly benefit from being more active. That's a challenge, and there are barriers for those people, and we need to better understand what those barriers are. The outcome is for more people is to have more people enjoy physical activity and sport at the level of their choosing and making it a lifestyle choice. So everything's worded quite carefully. At the level of their choosing is quite important. So we're not asking for people to be Olympic athletes. Some may choose to go down that road, but we're asking for people to be as active as they can be to assist in their physical and their mental health. There are five strategic actions to that, Chair. I'm not going to go into them in detail. They cover Be Active for Life programs, Be Active for Health programs. They cover council-led activity programs, which I've mentioned earlier on. They cover multi-sport camps, and they cover community-based activity programs. Moving on to the next slide, theme two, sports providers. Again, here's the rationale. It's a focus on the sports clubs and activity providers, encouraging them to embrace physical activity and well-being alongside their primary sport. Many of them presently do that, and I think it's further encouragement through this strategy and through the work of the strategy to encourage sports clubs and activity providers to understand their responsibility and to fully embrace it. And the outcome will be sports clubs and activity providers welcoming the whole community and promoting athletes and officials' development at all levels of participation, whether it's grassroots, whether it's competition, whether it's performance. They're all in there. This is an all-inclusive strategy, Chair, and nobody is left out. There are five actions to that theme, and they cover financial assistance programs, generic training programs. They cover the sports association, the SANSA association. They cover the sports awards that I've mentioned earlier, and they cover leasing policies as well, and an action to look at those. Moving on to theme three, Sarah, thank you. This is about partnerships. This is particularly important, and I have a bee in my bonnet about this, because over the years we see councils leading on this sort of work, and that's certainly the case here. But that cannot be the only operator in this strategy. It has to be done in partnership with other key agencies, the health sector, the education sector, Department for Communities, etc. And that's critical. The council cannot be left carrying the can for this strategy. And we emphasised that in our consultation sessions with the various sectors, and the message we're hearing is that people certainly want to get involved and bring to the table their resources, their expertise, their money where that's necessary, and their commitment to this strategy. So it's a fully shared strategy in terms of its further development, in terms of its the actions that take place from it, so that the outcome is shared responsibility and commitment by stakeholder organisations, and we emphasise that at every opportunity. Yes, theme four, thank you. And telling everyone, and this is something that comes through from the Department for Communities strategy, Living Well strategy, that we need to keep pushing the message of the benefits of being more active, and why people should have a go and keep at it. And so that the outcome is everyone knows about the opportunities for participation in sport and physical activity, and the hope is that they will take up those opportunities. Chair, that's the presentation that I have for this evening. I thank you for your time and your forbearance in allowing me to do that. I'm happy to take questions through yourselves.
Very much, Tony. Yeah, we'll pass it on to the floor here. We'll have Councillor Delvin.
Thank you, Chair. Tony, thank you very much for that report. It seems very succinct. You've pulled everything together really well. I have a couple of comments and a couple of, one question as well, if that's okay. We know right across the district we have a superb variety of sporting clubs and activities that are run at the council level as well, but obviously there's always the need to do more, and how this report has to be taken in tandem with obviously sports facility strategy. Very good to see sort of high up the report and the reference there to female participation in sports and how that's rising here in the district. We must just keep a focus on that and encourage that as best we can, because we know the data out there in terms of females, particularly in sports leadership roles, how that equates across to success in, you know, working life in the boardroom and confidence and all those things that go with it. So I think that's really, really good that we can keep and use the sport as a vehicle sort of for that. Then I have a wee question around the community survey, the 600 respondents. I'm just wondering, how did that community survey go out, Tony? Was that just an open call for information, or was that targeted to certain people? Can I maybe try to answer that now and then move on down to the questions after, if that's okay?
Thank you for that question, Councillor. Chair, the community survey was an online survey which the council was really instrumental in helping with, to push that out through social media platforms, through the council, pushing it out to sports clubs, etc. And we had several repeated calls within the period of the survey period, which was probably about 6 weeks, to maximise the returns that we had from that. And 600 it's certainly, we felt it was a very, very good level of response to a community survey. Knowing that there are many community surveys that are out there, and I know them from the council but elsewhere, and there is a bit of saturation in an online survey, so we were pleased to have 600 responses.
Sure, thank you for that, Tony. I think the 20% figure, that was one thing I was wondering, you know, in terms of the wider population, there's definitely more inactive people than 20%, but I suppose we're looking, you know, we're maybe pushing an open door, maybe if council push the surveys out to people. But again, the 600 respondents back was very, very good. In terms of the community survey as well, I see that it's the 27%. The jogging and running, and a few months ago the council have tabled a notice of motion regarding the need for a running track, and I suppose that just underpins as well how that sort of, you know, is at the backbone of most physical activity right across the district. So we look forward to an update on that hopefully next month. I think as well, going back to the first point about the females' participation in sport, you know, you definitely see running clubs locally in my area, it would be majority female, so again something like that there could really tick that box when the time comes. In terms of the education survey, really encouraging to see the fact that more schools are open to that. I mean, I remember way back in the old Down Legacy Council, I think the Assumption Grammar School was one of the schools locally here that was maybe one of the first ones to come on board in some type of a partnership with council, and that was my first knowledge and experience of that. But now we see the likes of, you've already mentioned, Tony, obviously Shimla College in the Mourns, which has got an extremely impressive school that's about to open its doors next week with obviously the council and the Department of Education arrangement there, which is just really, really good to see. And we want to see more of that right across the board, because at the end of the day, they're publicly funded facilities, they're funded by the ratepayer and the taxpayer, so if we can maximise that usage and it works for everybody, I think that's a win-win right across the board. Let me see, what was the other point? Oh yeah, I think actually in your actual report there was a photograph of the Tullymore United, and I suppose them accessing the financial assistance. So it's looking at all the different models right across council. I know that scheme in particular, my own children attended that one, and that was absolutely brilliant. I know for any parents, summertime in particular, and children's activities can be really, really expensive. They really can be. But that was one that was not expensive. They availed of funding from the council, and it ticked so many boxes. I remember as well, we had ethnic minority children, we had the Syrian children that were living in Newcastle for a while, and even that type of conversation that provoked around our dinner table was just amazing at such a young age. And that's what it should all be about, that respect for difference and respect for diversity. I'm coming to the end, you'd be glad to know. But again, it's just how that all links back to sports facility strategy. But I think in general, the document is really, really encouraging. Thanks so much, Tony, for your work on it. Just those one last just we created came through our group, and I suppose just the importance of SAMHSA. As this strategy moves forward, do we as a council see SANSA as a partner in terms of analysing that and how we sort of develop and deliver against that plan? Is that the way that would work? I'm not sure if that's a question, Tony, for you or maybe Connor or Andy here in the chamber. But thank you.
I'll pick up on that, Tony. Yes, so as Tony's highlighted, it's one of the actions, if you like, within that theme, and it's reviewing SANSA and its current role and position and what it does, because I think the elected members that sit on it would see that it's probably broken and has been for quite a while, so it's about refitting that and making it work. I think, you know, all councils, you know, has a sports forum of some shape or make a form, and it's allowing us to engage with clubs directly, if you like, so it'll still be a sports forum of some shape. So it's an action in this is to review it and work with it. At the minute, SANSA is a standalone charity based, you know, that council administrates, if you like, but it's a standalone organisation. But it's something that we're going to look at about an internal sports forum.
I look forward to hearing that. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Connor. Thank you, Tony.
Chair, maybe I can comment on some of Councillor Devlin's comments there. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, thank you for your comments, Councillor. The community survey is, I emphasise the importance of it there because it does transfer, some of the information does transfer into the other work that the Council is doing, particularly on your facilities strategy. So the importance of these surveys is critical to more, and maybe I should have said that when in my presentation, it's critical to more than the deactive strategy. So that's where these strategies start to weave together in terms of what the council is doing in the longer term. The schools, the point that you make in schools is an important point which we have realised over many years, and there is much, much more potential in schools, particularly schools that currently have facilities that are underused by the public outside of curriculum time, or maybe not used at all, because there are many, many challenges for schools in being able to do that. In terms of management, in terms of insurance, in terms of governors not understanding the benefits of it, etc. So there's a piece of work there, nearly for somebody to go around the schools and present to the schools and say, look, this is how it can work for you. Here's the benefits for the school. And some of our work, we manage a community use of a school 3G pitch, and it's bringing in £20,000 to £25,000 a year for the school. We've been managing that for 25 years, and it means that the school doesn't have to do that. They pay us a sum of money, sort of an honorarium for doing that, but it takes that pressure off the school. So there are ways and means that the challenges for schools can be overcome in encouraging more community use, although Shane College is obviously a case in point and will be a great success for the school and for the council as well. So schools are always uppermost in our mind in terms of the greater potential that there is for community use, to also take the pressure off the council having to provide more facilities in areas where schools already have good facilities. Case studies, I didn't mention them, and there are case studies peppered throughout the report, and those are important because they demonstrate the local benefits, whether it's a summer sports camp, whether it's financial grants, whether it's people attending the Be Active for Life, Be Active Health programs, etc. So it does emphasise and underscore the importance of the council's work here and the massive input that the council has to people's lives already. The 20% or even more, as you suggest, councillor, of people that aren't currently active enough, it emphasises the council's potential to make a difference there as well.
Thanks, Pat. Anybody else would like to come? That seems to be a no, Tony. So, thanks for your time this evening.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We'll move on to number 5, the Sport, Physical Activity and Wellbeing Strategy, and that's with Connor.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to go over the whole document and the story system. I think Tony has explained it better than I would, unless he's wanting to go through it page by page. So this report is asking for the committee to give approval and adopt the sport, the active physical activity and wellbeing strategy 2025. questions.
Over to Councillor Murphy.
Yeah, enough to propose it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Then Councillor Devlin.
Just a second, I'll help you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and then moving on to number six is the District Electoral Area Forums Update Report. Is Ali?
Thanks, Chair. The purpose of the report is for noting and to agree the actions in the action sheets attached. I don't propose to go through the action sheets, but happy to take any specific questions members might have. Thank you.
Good evening.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ali, for that. I suppose one thing I'm just looking at, I know in the Mourns we obviously have a gap from a business representative from the Independents, and that's something we're looking at in terms of Kilkeel and Newcastle. And I think from speaking to other people across the board, there's some other gaps in terms of Independents. I suppose it's, how do we make it more attractive? I'm not talking about financially paying people, I'm thinking, how do we make it that, you know, I'm thinking even from our own perspective, encouraging business people to come along who've got their own businesses to give up an hour and a half of their time that they feel they're getting more benefit out of it. I don't know how we do that. Is that something that we're looking at?
Yes, Councillor Devlin, thanks for that question. I suppose as part of the overall community development strategy, we'll be looking at all our current structures and forums and how those might work best. We are conscious, for example, in terms of EAs, there's a lot of duplication in terms of, we know even some of our external partners are struggling to come to all seven meetings, so we are kind of conscious of that. What we're trying to do for the incoming year is firstly look at the DEA action plans and make them more generic but still specific to each area, and more focused in on the community plan, so they're actually more aligned to the council's wider strategies. The other piece of work then will be the community development strategy, actually looking at the role. Obviously, members will have a part to play in that process, and also the community voluntary sector. So it is something that we're actively looking at.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose just that sell whenever we're approaching the business community to say, like, give up your time, you're going to get this out of it, this is going to benefit. But sometimes maybe the meetings are quite short. I suppose it's some way of us trying to shape that a bit better, that they see the value in it. Be lucky enough sometimes. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ali.
Great. We got a proposer and seconder? Councillor Murphy. Councillor Dowling. Okay, items 7 and 8 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. May I please have a proposer and seconder to go into closed session? Okay, Councillor Mullins. Whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 7, the Be Active programme. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Declan Murphy, seconded by Councillor Kate Murphy, to approve business case and appointment of a suitable supplier through a public procurement process for a programme delivery partner, as out within the officer's report. Item 8, Youth Poverty Strategy for Northern Ireland. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Lee Sojourner, seconded by Councillor Murphy, to approve the attached response within the officer's report be submitted to the Department for Communities on behalf of the Council. And item 9 is for noting. It's the BCSP Neighbourhood Renewal Partnership Report. Comments or questions? And then if we could have a proposer and seconder. Councillor Murphy. Councillor Jackson. Okay, once again, that's us. Thank you very much. See you at home.